That's fair. Look, you understand that if you've played enough pickup ball, you understand that people get really pissy when you block their shot. You block their shot, and you'll get about 50% of people will do this thing where they run up on you and hound you and try to play the hardest, most physical defense of their lives for like the next like 5 seconds, and you're just like passing it to someone else. Like, what are you doing?
People hate it when you play basketball against them.
They do. Look.
What it is.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Full Court Mess. It is February 16th, 3 p.m., a little early today, 3 p.m. Pacific. We're coming at you early with, it's a duo today. It's me, Jared, and Will.
Yo. I want to wish a happy Coby White's birthday to all those who celebrate.
Oh, very good. We love all Coby White. We love Coby. He's been doing good lately.
He has. He's gone from Bulls fans kind of hating him at the beginning of the season, or online ones at least, to now they're pretty supportive.
Yeah.
To which I appreciate, but also must say, if they ever hate my sweet boy Coby White again, I will attack them.
It's hard to hate his energy.
He's so delightful.
He's so positive.
He's great. He's 22 today. Wild. He can listen to 22 by Taylor Swift and really be feeling it.
Sometimes you gotta. Yeah, so we're probably just going to do a shorter one than usual today. I don't know what that means, because we have never had a consistent episode length anyway.
It's somewhere between 30 minutes and 3 hours.
Yeah. We're never doing that draft special again, though. That's
we're gonna bring it back. I think we should. It sucked. It was
so bad.
I think
we should, but I don't think we should. Like, I think that should just be like a stream exclusive.
Yeah. We don't record it. I think that's correct.
Yeah,
because it was awful.
That'd be fun. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess we'll just do some trades and other news and yeah. What do we? Oh, you know, really quick. Wait, let's start with some All-Star stuff.
Okay.
That's this weekend. I'm excited because Jarrett Allen has just been invited. I want to highlight Jarrett Allen because he's going in as, who's he replacing?
He's replacing Harden.
And I read today that he got the call that he's been put in the game while he was busy playing Pokemon Legends.
True man of the people.
That's how we know he's a real one.
Yeah, he should have got in off the fan vote if we had that information.
Yeah. And this comes a week after there's a spotlight about him and that he collects Zelda shields.
I had heard before he was such a... It's come out before that he's a huge Zelda guy. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Is he the one where they play the sound from Zelda when he makes his free throws?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a real one for that.
Yep.
I mean, he's been a real one.
I love that he's a legitimate like All-Star now. That's been a fun turn. He was always a promising player, but it's the entire Cleveland Cavaliers team is just so fun.
Honestly, they're so fun because they're so young, and they're good. And, like, I think it's, like, they're so confident and young that they don't know they're not supposed to be this good yet.
They're really, like, I mean, they're Grizzlies East and, like, a slightly less talented and, like, a year or two behind. But they're Grizzlies East. They're a blast. And that's a big deal for me to say because I fucking hate the Cavs. But
yeah, I think
Garland,
that's fair to say.
Mobley, Okoro, Jared Allen. I mean, it's just a fun-ass team and a good one.
I can't hate on them. I can't hate on them. Like, they're... And it's, like... It's impressive that they've put that team together now. Like, I think we expected them to be like a poverty franchise for a while.
Yeah, really. That's the benefit of the Garland pick really panned out. He developed nicely, and then they nailed the Mobley pick.
Yeah, Mobley. Good, like, good signings, good trades. Pretty good. They just got someone else too. They got Chris LeVert.
Yeah, they did.
That's pretty. I think that's a good.
I'm good curious to see trade. how he sits in there.
Yeah, he's kind of older than all of the guys now.
I feel like if people, I feel like I saw someone have a take where they might have taken a swing on some different guys if they had known they were available. Like, do the Cavs make that LeVert trade if they know that Tyrese Halliburton's just sitting on
Does
the
anyone make any other
table?
trades if they know about that?
That was so wild. But yeah, they're a blast of a team. They're gonna be, if they can like sit around like the 5-6 seed range, they're gonna be hell for somebody in the first round of the playoffs. They're gonna be
They
annoying
will.
regardless, but
So wait,
if they catch a not like a top seeded team, they're gonna be rough.
they have two all-stars right now then, right?
Yeah, Garland made it in.
Dang. See, that's huge. That's huge. Like, any team to have two all-stars is big, but for a team like that, I think that's really big.
Yeah, like I'm not sure the Wizards have had two All-Stars in the same year in my lifetime. Maybe once Brad and Wall made it in the same year, but
I think that would make sense.
if they might have, but if they didn't, they like just missed each other. It's two young, fun All-Stars, and they're not, and none of them are your best prospect.
Yeah,
That's a fun
exactly.
spot to be in.
Really quick, who's winning the 3-point contest? Who's in the
That
3-point
entirely depends on who's
contest?
in the 3-point contest.
Let me get a list up.
Thanks.
We love to be prepared here.
Yeah, we're always ahead of the curve.
I remember there being a big range.
Yeah, a lot of different folks in
Yeah.
this.
Okay. Let's go. We got Fred VanVleet, Desmond Bane, Luke Kennard, Zach LaVine, CJ McCollum, Patty Mills, Karl Anthony Towns, and Trae Young. That's
All right. I'm gonna go with my gut.
interesting.
This could look like a dumb pick because he's so streaky, but I'm gonna say Patty Mills.
Patty Mills, yeah, that'd be good. I could see that. Trae, I don't know. Maybe. We get a lot of guys who are such good shooters and they don't do well in the 3-point contest, and I always think it's because they're just better as a catch and shoot kind of guy. But I feel like the way Trae picks up a ball could work. I do. Here's what I want to see. I want to see Cat win.
I would love to see Cat win.
So I want to see a big man get it.
That would be a blast. I have trouble picking him because not because I mean he's an elite 3-point shooter, but it's just hard to imagine a big man winning it until somebody does.
Yeah. Okay, then we have the dunk. No, we have okay, the skills challenge. Which they feel the need to change up every other year.
Yes, it's so confusing now.
So I like what they're doing here though. I wish there were more teams. There's only three teams against each other. So we have Team Antetokounmpo, which is Giannis, Thanasis, and Alex.
That rules that that's happening.
Yeah, and then we have Team Cavs, Jarrett Allen, Darius Garland, and Evan Mobley. And then we have Team Rooks, Scottie Barnes, Cade Cunningham, and Josh Giddey.
Do we know what the skills challenge actually like is this year? Like, do they have to pass or shoot or what?
Players will
Because I
make
feel
their
like
way
that matters a
through.
lot for my choice.
Yeah, players will make their way through an obstacle course that challenges their ability in all facets of the game, dribbling, passing, and shooting. So that really doesn't say much.
No, I'm gonna say give me the Rooks.
Okay.
They should make all the passes just fine.
Maybe my guess would be that it's like each guy runs through it one time. Probably something like that.
Yeah, I did. I think, and I feel like it's always safer. They might not, but I bet like Josh Giddey and Scottie Barnes like actually kind of try. I don't know about Cade, but Josh and Scott have that try on the skills challenge energy about them as rookies.
Yeah. they probably have speed also over anyone else.
Yeah, I can't imagine the Cavs going quite as hard, but maybe Mobley and Garland, and then I bet the Antetokounmpos go hard.
They're gonna go hard.
But I'm just worried about betting on Thanasis and Alex to make shots.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest barrier.
But it's fun that they're doing it.
Yeah, and then okay. Dunk contest. I'm hopeful this year that it's gonna be good.
Mm-hmm. I'm less hopeful after hearing about Jalen Green's NFT dunk.
Is that what he's doing?
He said that's the only leak that's come out, is that he will have an NFT dunk.
This shouldn't be allowed. But yeah, whatever.
It's like a meeting during lunch. It shouldn't be allowed.
Your dunk should not be part of the blockchain in real time, at least.
Yeah, it's gonna suck.
Well, anyway, we have Obi Toppin, Jalen Green, Cole Anthony, and Juan Toscano-Anderson.
That's a
good mix of, like, we got a big man in there.
Mm-hmm. We got different types.
Yeah. I don't know who you got.
So here's my detailed analysis.
Okay.
Jalen Green's probably like the best athlete type to win this. He's like the right size. He's not too big. He's not too small. He can fly out of the gym. Like, oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. I'm not picking him because he's doing an NFT dunk.
That's fair.
He's off the table. Cole Anthony, I adore, obviously, UNC guy. Yeah. He's got great hops. I don't know if he has good enough hops to win a dunk contest. Like,
was his dad good? Good hops.
I don't remember how Greg Anthony was.
I don't either.
Jumping was. No. But like, I've seen Cole dunk. He's a nut. It's definitely, in my opinion, he's always had like the hops where it's like he can yam on a big man during a game or something like that. But I'm not sure, like, just height and hops combo, it's enough to like pull off anything ridiculous in the dunk contest.
See, that's how I feel about Juan.
Okay.
Because Juan is like, when he dunks, it's like he's yamming it on someone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's power, but it's like power over height. So I'm like, I'm wondering what he is going to do.
Yeah. So with that, that leads me to my choice, which is Obi Toppin.
I mean, Obi throws it down. Obi does flashy shit during games.
He does. He sprints. He jumps really high, and I love a power dunk. So I'm hoping that's, mm-hmm. and he's got tons of power. But yeah, I'm worried. I'd love for Cole to do it, but I really just, he's got great hops. I think at his height, you need elite hops to win the dunk contest.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised too of anyone on the Warriors to be in the dunk contest. Like, Juan's really good. He's one of their better dunkers, but I really thought it would be Gary Payton.
Oh, okay. I would have, if he wanted to, I would have watched Cum Bucket do it.
Yeah, I expect that one day. Like, I think he's just not rushing to do it this year, but I expect him in that soon enough.
Cole Anthony is like, I mean, this is kind of dumb, but because the guy I'm going to compare his hops to is literally won a dunk contest, but it was not a good dunk contest. Cole Anthony's hops remind me of a slightly like toned down version of like John Wall's. Okay. Where it's like, you could get somebody at any time. And John Wall did win dunk contest, and the dunk he won with was a good dunk. He double clutched it all the way down. All good stuff, but it wasn't a really strong contest. And it's not like the like type I look to do it. It's like, you watch it at the end and you're like, I mean, they weren't that far above the rim.
Yeah.
It's not Ja Morant. It's not Russell Westbrook.
I really wanted Ja in it.
Yeah, I'm hoping he'll do it at some point, but
I know. I hope he's not pulling like a LeBron on us.
But be easy if you're if we're lucky, one day we will get a dunk contest that features Ja versus an in-shape Zion, and that'll be everything we needed.
Speaking of Zion, he's like more behind schedule again, right?
Yeah, I saw he might need another surgery.
I saw that. I only saw that because I saw the name Greg Oden trending, and I was
like, yikes.
You know, unless you're strictly comparing like young potential,
mm-hmm.
that's one thing. But this kind of comparison about like, we're never going to see him play again.
It's not good. Man, yeah, I don't know there seem to be so many factors at play, both on his side and the organization side. But I'm really praying we get, like, it's like, you know, Embiid had a really rough couple of first couple of years. He missed like two and a half years out of his first three. And then he's been good since, for the most part. And I'm really hoping we get that, because Zion is legitimately the most talented player I've ever seen play basketball in college.
Yeah.
I've just seen him do things.
I hope it's just a process 2.0.
Yeah. I don't care if it happens in New Orleans. I'd like it for them if it does. But I just want to be able to see him play basketball, because I think he has a chance to be something I've just never seen before.
Yeah, I couldn't care if it happens in New Orleans.
I don't think
who's the GM? What's his name again?
It's the David Griffin.
David Griffin should not get to see any of his gameplay for the Pelicans.
It's incredible
playing the piano for Zion, which is just, that was weird.
It's incredible how much my opinion of David Griffin has dropped. Like, he really seemed like the competent guy in Cleveland. He's the only competent general manager they've had. When they got rid of him, it was like, what are you doing? And then he's been a nightmare. And Kobe Altman, who replaced him in Cleveland, has been doing a great job.
I think we were all wrong. I think we might have just watched like one of the luckiest mans alive.
Yeah, no, because he stinks in New Orleans. But it also, you know, I would say it could be an ownership thing, but I mean, it's not like the Cavs have good ownership. But the Pelicans have some problems as an entire organization, regardless of who the general manager is.
Yeah.
It's a lot like the Wizards. You know, you can get Ernie Grunfeld out, but ownership stays the same. Things stay the same.
Yeah, that seems to be what people are worried about the Kings with now, too.
Yeah. I think anytime you got a team that, you know, is once you're bad for like mediocre for like 20 straight years, it's like, okay, we've had multiple regimes, so what's the common factor?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially like the last Kings GM finally left and things haven't really gotten much better. You would have expected with the mess of the Kings last management group, like, they would have made a lot faster moves. Not with the change, but they made one move. Well, they made two, but all on the same day.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. I have nothing against the bonus as a player, but
I love him, but
the process they're going through is fascinating to me. As many a pundit who's smarter than me has said, is they're making win now moves. And they're like 15 games under 500 or something.
Yeah. Well, we might as well just get into the trades now. We get to start with the Kings. Yeah. Halliburton for Sabonis is like, there could not have been a more bittersweet move to make.
And just like random, like, generally we have some idea when a guy is on the table, but I don't know anyone who thought Tyrese Halliburton was on the table.
Like, yeah. I think for the Kings, it's so rare for a franchise like that to have a player in their second year doing so well and being like, I'll put this on my back. Like, I want to be here. And like, that's rare. And that, you know, doesn't always mean, because you know, every team drafts a guy and then they're like, yeah, I want to be the next star of the team. But like,
yeah.
I think Tyrese knows the team sucks ass. And so many things stink throughout the organization, and he was still patient, willing to take responsibility for like anything.
And so, it, like,
yeah, it was, it's so,
it, yeah, it's a combination of that he was already decent and looked like he could be really good. Just never guaranteed, but it was there. And then the fact that he was also like just a fun to watch basketball player, like that matters. Like when you're a fan of a team, like you care about who's fun to watch and who's not. You like the ones who are fun to watch more.
And he was like the only bit of positivity on that team.
Yeah, which is so shocking to me, because the angle that's so fascinating to me is like, so 4 years ago, roughly, I don't know the exact amount, but call it like 4 years ago, not in terms of player style, but just in terms of spot on the team, like De'Aaron Fox was Tyrese Halliburton. We have nothing but we have him. And that's what we build around. And I'm nothing against Fox as a player, and I'd like to see him get a shot somewhere that isn't Sacramento, but we've kind of seen that fizzle out there. So it's fascinating to me that like they essentially like took the replacement and they're like, okay, well, maybe this one won't work either. And they toss him out. And now they've said that they're just all in on Davion Mitchell, who I like, but wild call.
I'm not against them being against Davion, but I think I would have preferred a Davion and Tyrese combo versus Fox.
Yeah, and they're still down to move on from Fox, so it's going to be Davion by himself. Which, you know, you're allowed to have more than one good guard on a basketball team.
And yeah, and that's why I'm like, you know, Fox is still pretty good. Like, you know, he can't shoot that well, but he can slash and do other things, and it's like, he can make plays, but like, Tyrese is a second-year guy dropping 15-plus assist games.
Yeah, I mean, he's shooting like 41% from three.
Yeah, like, yeah, so you gave away your shooter.
It was weird. That said, Sabonis has looked awesome since he went to Sacramento. He looked awesome in Indiana. Sabonis is an awesome player.
His first game there, like, he seemed really excited to be there also.
Yeah. I think it was some of the him and despite the fact that Tyrese wasn't looking to leave, they probably get a bit of a switch where it's like they didn't go to exciting places, but they got to leave bad places.
Yeah.
It's like you're at a bad place, but you're at a new bad place.
Yeah, the thing with Tyrese though is that like you know, with Sabonis, he knew he was gonna leave. It's just a matter of like, I don't know where. Like there's talk about it all year.
Yeah. Tyrese was like
they told him to his face he's not gonna get traded. And then they traded him and they made him cry.
Kings stay the Kings.
Kings do stay the Kings. But yeah, Sabonis seemed the first game he did really well.
I realized there were some fascinating takes about him out there. I saw a lot of like when he got traded, a lot of people called him he was gonna be a problem because he's a ball stopper. And I was like, I don't feel like that's the Sabonis I'm familiar with watching.
I don't get that.
I guess like he can be if he's just gonna like feed it to the post and tell him to score, but he's a rather gifted passer and a willing one.
Yeah, and at least I watched his first game, at least some of it. I didn't get to catch the whole thing, but I caught like the latter half, and like he had the crowd really excited.
Yeah, so they're gonna
even if it's pretty. It sucks to see Halliburton go, but like I think Sabonis is so likable that I think all the fans are still, they're all in on him. It seems like.
Yeah, he's entering his prime. He's a very good player, and you do get to watch a good, top 30 basketball player do his thing now. Which Tyrese was excellent. He wasn't remotely a top 30 basketball player at this time because he's young. So that's something new for them and something they really haven't had since Boogie Cousins.
And Sabonis is still pretty young. He's 24, 25.
I think he's 25.
That trade sucks, but that's still a good get, at least.
Yeah, he's a good player to have.
Who else was in that trade? Let me look this up.
Yeah, there's no way it was just
six
one for
players
one.
Involved. So,
good heavens!
All right, Indiana receives Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield.
Oh yeah, Buddy Hield's in that trade.
Which so that's weird because Zach just says we don't want shooting anymore.
Zach, they've wanted to get rid of Buddy Hield for ages, and I guess it's the contract, and he hasn't wanted to be there. But it's always so fascinating because, I'll look up what he's doing, and I'll be like, oh, he seems pretty good.
Yeah, he's still doing, all right. He'll probably do better elsewhere. I think it's going to be one of those things where he's just okay, finally, this team wants me. So,
yeah.
And then they also received Tristan Thompson, which, I don't know, probably not that notable.
Yeah.
Zach receives Sabonis, Justin Holiday, Jeremy Lamb, and a 23 second round pick.
Funny enough, not that saying that Justin Holiday is going to be an impact player, but I was seeing today that he was, before he got traded, he was the Pacers' best 3-point shooter.
Well, there's something at least.
So they're like, let's get these guys off our team. They keep making their shots.
Yeah. Weird trade. What else we got? You had some trades lined up.
Yeah, well, I deserve Joe can I deserve to say a big good call by Joe and a big mea culpa from me. Joe was right. The Simmons trade happened.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Ben Simmons, James Harden, and they managed to get Seth Curry out of it, too. The Nets did. I don't know about you. I've been pretty much agreeing with most of like the popular takes, which is I feel like it's a pretty good trade for both teams.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I know they asked KD during like the All-Star draft.
Mm-hmm.
What he thought, and he was just like, I think everyone gets what they want. And it seems like that's definitely, I expected Simmons to be traded. I don't think I did not expect Simmons, Seth, and who else was it?
Andre Drummond.
Andre for Harden.
Yeah, I didn't. It seemed to. It really like I said, Daryl Morey owned my ass because it really seemed to ramp up out of nowhere. All of a sudden, Harden was gettable. I will say, in my head, every time I thought Harden was not, this was not going to happen, I was still thinking of Harden like the like top five player he was, not the like top 25 player he currently is.
Yeah. Also, like, it seems like the Nets players are glad to have him gone.
Yeah,
is he becoming the new Dwight Howard?
It's weird though, because like a very fair point I've seen made in response is like, yo, he also had to deal with some shitty ass people on the Nets, like. It's like, mm-hmm. Was he the cancer, or did he want to leave because he had to be on the team with Kyrie Irving?
Yeah, honestly, I believe if it was both.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, I don't like Harden. And I didn't like how he handled the Houston situation wanting to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I can't blame him for not wanting to be on this team that originally seemed really promising to be part of this, like, big three scary hours to deal. And then, you know, a major part of that trio is like, I'm only playing sometimes.
And then not that it's his fault, but then Kevin Durant gets hurt, so James Harden's the only one playing.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't blame him for being like, I want to go to a team where these guys, where he feels teammates are going to be more dedicated, I guess,
mm-hmm.
and like team oriented. So like, that's, you know, good for him. And it works because, like, I don't want to like the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it makes it easier for me to not like the Sixers.
Perfect for me.
And it makes it easier for me to like the Nets.
So. Yeah, I'm hoping. I don't know if it'll happen. This is a trade that works for the Nets if Ben Simmons comes in and is like, let's get to work. I want to do my best. We don't know if that'll happen. But that's the scenario where it works. And then, I mean, for Philly, I know that, they gave up Seth Curry, but no brainer there. Simmons wasn't playing for them, and they got a chance to pair Harden with Embiid when Embiid's playing at an MVP level. So, like I said, it's not Houston Harden. It's not top five James Harden, but he's still excellent.
Yeah, so it's good. And yeah, I'm curious to see Ben whenever he plays.
Yeah, I'm hoping he goes for it. I've always liked watching him play, so I'm hoping he goes for it. I would like to, for my own hot takes, point out how annoying I still think all the Philly fans have been during all this. Now they're like, the current vibe from them on my timeline is the national media made fun of Ben, and now they're painting us as the bad guys. It's like, man, just admit y'all are the bad guys. Like,
yeah,
I know y'all hate him for ages. I'm not saying the national media is innocent in anything. I don't care, but just like, stop doing this we're actually nice thing. Nah,
yeah,
like, y'all hated him, he left.
You guys were mean.
Yeah,
it just is what it is.
I saw somebody tried to somebody went for a own on Dan Le Batard the other day, just maybe yesterday, the day before, and it was because they had a clip of him on his radio show where he said, I hope Simmons comes back when they play Philly. I hope he comes back angry. I hope he tears them up. I hope he gives them hell. That's what he said on the radio show. Didn't listen to any other context. That's just the clip. And a Philly fan account quote tweeted that clip with a picture of a tweet from the Le Batard account that said, like, it was a dude looking pissed on the couch, and it was from something, but I hadn't seen whatever the source material was. Dude looking pissed on the couch, and it was like Simmons at home watching Giannis make these free throws, make his free throws in the playoffs or something like that. And they're like, gotcha, you on his side now, but you were the one in the first place. And I was like, one, first of all, the funniest part was that the tweet from his account that was the joke wasn't from Dan. So it was two different people. That yeah. that account is for the entire group.
Yeah.
But also, I was just like, these aren't really that contradictory to me. Like, I hope they're he fucks up Philadelphia, no. but I also made a joke that he was mad, like that he was the two guys who were having trouble shooting free throws in the playoffs. One of them figured it out, one of them didn't. And the guy who didn't, it's like, damn, I wish, hate that he figured it out and I didn't. I'm like, that's not yeah. really the bullying I'm thinking of when I think of yeah. like,
and it's
weird stuff.
It's like, yeah, someone's was having issues. And then it's like, why do you think he was having issues?
Yeah, I'm just like, it. I don't care if y'all, I mean, generally, I assume fans should root for their players, but like, barring off the court things. But like, I don't really care if y'all don't like Ben Simmons. Like, you won. You literally, he's gone, and you traded him for James Harden. Like, you won. I don't want to have to hear you afterwards. Be like, and we were the good guys.
Yeah.
Like, nah, just own it. Just be like, yeah, we're jerks and we got what we wanted.
Yeah. I think for the Nets, it's good too, because Joe Harris is still out, right? He's not going to be out for a yeah. while.
Yeah.
So Seth Curry gives you like instant relief.
On, like, Seth Curry is like the, what, fifth best three-point percentage of all time?
Yeah, you get such comparable shooting there. And then when Joe Harris is back, you know, who knows what that rotation is going to look like, but you're going to have plenty of three shooting now.
Yeah, that'll be... No, yeah, I think it's all solid pieces for them. It's all stuff they can use. And the question of how good it is just, does KD get healthy? Does Kyrie get vaccinated? And does Ben Simmons come in, like, ready to go?
Kyrie's
which he might, all, and none of those might be true, but this is probably looks pretty yeah. decent, like, a year from now.
Yeah, Kyrie's not getting vaccinated, though. That's just
no, he's not. They're really just trying to get New York to change the mandate instead.
It's funny, though, because it's a situation now where, like, you don't have many instances where a team like the Nets, like a superstar team, a loaded team, is worse at home.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's really good. It, like... No, yeah, I hope it, as long as he keeps refusing to get vaccinated, I hope it fucking tears him up and ruins the team. Like, I like Kevin Durant.
Yeah, my brother was like, oh, the Kings play the Nets tomorrow. And he's like, who do you think's gonna win? And I was like, are the Nets at home? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, they'll probably lose.
It's like, God, I hope we get him in Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, I was like, if they were in sack, even the Kings would have a chance. Like, or no, if it was in Brooklyn, even the Kings would have a chance. But I was like, if it was in SAC, Kyrie's just going to tear them up.
You're right.
Yeah, it does not make sense.
It's so good. Yeah, I know. I hope that continues to be a problem.
Can he play in Toronto?
I don't think so, because Bradley Beal couldn't play in Toronto.
Bradley Beal ended up getting vaxxed, too.
So nobody who's not vaxxed, I think, can play in Toronto. But home players in New York who aren't vaxxed can't play. Because that's what Silver was getting pissed that day. He's like, why are away players allowed to play? And everybody was like, because it's easy to make the law apply to citizens of your own state and not to others.
Yeah, I was wondering that too, because like the Warriors have pretty strict, or, I mean, not Warriors, but the California has strict rules. And the Bay Area especially has like strict rules, like San Francisco. And Kyrie was able to play against the Warriors at home. And I was like,
yeah, I think that's just like a state law versus federal law thing. Like when you go to Canada, they're like, nah, bitch, you're in a different country. You're going to abide by our rules. But
yeah, dang, that's going to suck if they get the Nets versus Raptors matchup.
I hope they do. I hope Kyrie has to sit out the entire
thing. I hope so, too. But I don't think the Raptors, they're not doing that well anyway. So I don't think that's anything to worry about.
They're decent. They're going to make the offs, or at least the play-in.
Let me check. Yeah.
Ever since Siakam got back,
oh yeah, there's seven. Okay, yeah, there's seven now. There's seven.
Turns out Fred VanVleet being an all-star is useful.
Yeah. You know who's on the up and up right now? The Wolves.
Oh yeah, I hear they're in the playoffs. They're above 500. Seventh seed. Let's get into the real playoff 27. Boxes. Do they have a chance to get to six?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, they're 31-27, and above them is Denver, 32-25.
Check out the Western Conference. Yeah. Get up there. I mean, that'd be awesome if they could get out of the play-in and make the playoffs for real.
Yeah, and like, Utah's not going to fall. Memphis, you know, they're not going to fall. If anyone falls, it's Dallas.
Yeah. We'll and despite all my hopes, they've been playing solid ball.
Yeah. What's the next trade? What do you got?
I guess speaking of Dallas, Kristaps Porzingis is no longer on the Mavericks.
Yeah, that's. I'm so sorry for you.
I really hate this. I also hate it because like it's objectively a really good trade by the Wizards because I don't know how they managed to get off of Bertans and Dinwiddie's contracts to get. Mm-hmm. Porzingis, and at the same time, Dallas gave them a second round pick. Like, I assumed we were going to lose like a first round pick when I saw the framing of that trade.
Yeah.
So like, it's fine. I really hate Kristaps, so I'm not excited about that. And this is also a classic Wizards trade of our most impressive moves are cleaning up our own messes, which is why did we give Bertans and Dinwiddie those big ass contracts? But I think Bertans will be good in Dallas. He'll get to play like Stiluka and just bomb threes. I think he'll have a good time.
Yeah.
I don't know about Dinwiddie. That shit was rough. I don't know why Dallas did this, but.
You know, I would imagine there's just issues with Porzingis.
Yeah. I mean, they clearly were done with him. They said, all right, you're not good enough to be the number two player on the team we're going for.
Well, then there was all the rumors of him and him kind of not liking how the system is so much revolving around Luka.
Yeah.
And, you know, all that, but also like he's hurt all the time still.
Yeah, I'm so hoping he just stays on the bench so I don't have to watch him.
How much is left on his contract?
That's a good question. What's he got? Like, I thought he would have like 2 or 3 years left.
Gosh, let me check. Sheesh, he's a free agent in 24.
Okay, what's that?
That's a big money.
That's a player option. He's going to take that, damn it.
Yeah, that's... Damn. Who paid him? Yeah. Who did this?
So we got him for the rest of this year and then 2 more years.
Yeah, that's too bad because that's like... That's so much money that could be spent on someone good.
Hey, it's less money than we were spending on Dinwiddie and Bertans combined.
You know, it might be good for you because this might make them harder to, you know, go all in on giving a Beal to Max.
I would hope so, but they still seem all the way there on that. They astound me. I think giving Bradley Beal to Supermax would be one of the worst moves in basketball history. But yeah, they cleaned house for a fair amount. They sent Aaron Holiday to Phoenix for cash considerations. I'm happy for him. He gets to play on a contender. Some spot minutes. And then they sent Montrezl Harrell to Charlotte for basically nothing for Ish Smith and Vernon Carey.
A little surprising.
I think what happened there, what the word around the team is that this locker room hated each other. So they had to pick, you got to pick sides, pick who to get rid of. And apparently, you know, depending on which side you're on, Harrell's either the problem or he's the other guy's the problem. But I mean, if you're going to get rid of guys to fix the locker room, you got to pick sides.
Yeah, I guess so.
So they shipped him out.
Too bad, because Harrell's good.
Yeah, I like him. Good, and the fan base really liked him.
I could believe that there are issues just the way he gets in fights on the court, too, and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't, like, it's not even something I'm saying is his fault. It's just the Wizards locker room has had issues since I was a kid, and it hasn't mattered who the players were. It's a bad culture there. And so, as soon as they shipped the guys out, everybody on the team started saying, like, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of egos that made us start sucking. And it's like, man, no one on this team should ever have an ego. This team has never been good enough for anyone to have an ego.
Also, it's funny when players say that, just instantly someone gets traded and they're like, yeah, we're having issues. It's like, I mean, you could just say you're happy to move on. You know, like, you're still talking shit, so it's not going to get better.
Yeah,
you know, the Nets were kind of like that, but at least the Nets were like, hey, we're just happy to have some guys that want to play for us.
Just, yeah,
like,
right.
Still calling out Harden, but at the same time, you're still like, moving forward a bit because you're like inviting these other guys. Oh, my dog is going crazy right now.
He's having a blast. He hates the trade.
What are you doing? Yeah, it was funny though when Joe and I were in the group chat and we're like, I don't think we'll solve the news yet about the Kristaps trade. And then your first thing is like, fellas, I am down horrendous.
I was down bad. I have no desire to watch this team again level, so I probably won't watch any more of their games this year. What was funny was right after that trade, before Porzingis even got to DC, the Wizards' one nationally televised game happened of the year. And so they had traded away four players, and they hadn't received any yet, so they only had like seven guys to play, and it was against the decimated Nets.
That's an incredibly Wizards timing.
Yeah. Yeah.
To happen.
So that shit sucked. Who had the I know Schroeder got traded.
You know, the funny Schroeder trade I only found out yesterday. Somehow I just missed that whole thing.
They flipped him for Daniel Tice. He's on the Rockets now.
Oh. Well, yeah, and they were happy to get Tice back, right? I saw something about that.
I assume. Every time Tice is on the Celtics, the fans seem like they love him, and then every team he goes to after that, the fans hate him. Like, the Rockets fans hated him, the Bulls fans hated him, but the Celtics fans always seem to like him, so he must be decent there.
Tice is, like, a more likable Lance Stevenson in that way.
Yeah.
When he's back on the Pacers, you know, Pacers fans are loving it, but when he's trying anywhere else, the fans hate him, and he sucks.
Yep.
Is Schroeder, so he's gonna get playing time over there, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I guess. I'm not sure, because, I mean, the Rockets are full on tank. They're just trying to let the kids play, so he's just probably just gonna, like, I mean, play some spot minutes and then go out in free agency. But it's interesting that the Lakers wanted him and the Celtics wanted to give him to him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the reports are the Lakers offered some, like, second round picks for Schroeder and the Celtics said no.
Why?
I guess because they're, one, like, second round picks aren't that interesting, and two, like,
I guess so, but
they're trying to win now. You know, since like what was it? I just saw something like since like February 15th, they've been like the best team in the league.
Well, they just, I think with that win last night, that blowout win last night, they broke an NBA record for like most 30 point margin wins in a row.
They've been on fire. They love doing this. They always do this where it's like they're just like Jason Tatum in the sense that they start off the season like shit, and then at some point during the season you get convinced that they're one of like the three best in the league players or
team.
And then in the playoffs they're good but not good enough.
Yeah, here's the headline from ESPN. It was Boston beats Philadelphia 135-87 to become first team in NBA history to win three straight road games by at least 30 points. That's tough. They're definitely.
No, yeah, like they've been playing great ball.
Back. They're 34-25 right now. They're on a 9 winning streak.
It's been a good time in Boston.
Good for them. Wow. Any other trades happen? That's all the big stuff, right? That's pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, there were a shit ton of trades, but I can't.
A lot of them.
Let's see. The Lakers made no trades.
Did you see? You see on ESPN? They're all at the, you know, the round table, and she's like, "The Lakers make no trades, so they're gonna focus on the buyout." And then Richard Jefferson and Perk start just laughing. That buyout market is not. It's not that great right now.
No. And it's never that great. You don't get very good players from the buyout market because they're getting bought out.
You know, yeah, and sometimes there's like a few good gets that are like, you know, this guy's just a good fit for the team.
Hmm.
A buyout guy is not. Lakers need more than a buyout guy. Like, that's not the key right now. That's not your answer.
the Celtics gave up. I forgot. The Celtics got Derek White from the Spurs.
That's actually pretty big.
Yeah, that's really interesting because I really like him as a player. And so they gave up Josh Richardson, which from what I hear from Celtics fans has been doo-doo. They gave up Romeo Langford, which seemed to be a favored prospect of Celtics fans. But then they gave up a first-round pick and a first-round pick swap later on.
Oh, wow.
So it was not a light.
That's pretty big, actually. That's a pretty heavy trade.
It is, but I am interested in it. Like, I love the idea of Derek White and Marcus Smart on the court together.
Yeah. I think that's promising, too, because there's so much talk of, like, maybe they flip Smart.
Mm-hmm.
But I think pairing like that is a sign of, like, maybe they'll keep him.
I hope so. I don't know why they would do that. That's another. It's like Boston's not the Kings. Like, they don't need to be desperate for some player to like them, like the Celtics. But like that dude, really. Like, I mean, he's an excellent player, and he's dying to play for that team.
Like,
yeah, like
if there is someone like perfect to be a Celtics lifer.
Yeah, right. Like, he wants to be let in.
Yeah, it would be him.
And then I guess the last big one I can see was the Ibaka DiVincenzo trade.
Oh. Right.
Ibaka to Bucks, Rodney Hood to Clippers, DiVincenzo to Kings, and Marvin Bagley to the Pistons.
I think DiVincenzo to the Kings is good.
Yeah. I like him.
That fits a role. A spot that was open from the previous trade.
If Ibaka has anything left, I like him filling in on the Bucks. I genuinely don't know if he does have anything left.
It seems like he's not been that great.
No.
So, I guess, you know, his depth. Is Brooks still out?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, well, there you go. And I guess that works for till then. Bagley to the Pistons is just like, oh. He wanted out, so he's out.
A classic style move for the Pistons, too. You know, like the shitty young team just takes another young player to hope that there might be something.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's hope for him still.
Yeah, I like Marvin Bagley as an athlete in a couple parts of his game. So I mean, if he gets to go play with a guy who projects to be a near elite level creator in Cade, could be a fun time. It's a fine flyer to take.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't really have to give up that much.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
they gave up Josh Jackson and Trey Lyles, and two second round picks.
Was it Jeremy Grant? Right.
Yeah, they still have Jeremy Grant.
Him, and I guess he was cool with staying. So.
Or at least they couldn't find the price. The Rockets also kept Eric Gordon and Christian Wood.
That's true.
Who they wanted to trade both of.
You know, I got feel bad. I feel bad for Eric Gordon. Just being on the Rockets still.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's not the best player in the league, but I feel like if there's someone on the Rockets that he deserves a win.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's good.
I was selfishly rooting for him to stay on the Rockets, not out of anything at him, but at Rockets fans, because they had gotten so cocky before the deadline that he was worth at least one first round pick. They're like, we're not trading him if we don't get a first round pick back. I'm like, nobody's going to trade you a first round pick for Eric Gordon.
He'd be a good trade for like a multiplayer trade thing, but yeah, I don't know about.
And if like a contender wanted to add some shooting, sure, but I don't think anybody was going to give him a first round pick for it, and lo and behold, the trade deadline passed and he's still on their roster.
Yeah, I mean, like, Eric Gordon's good. I like him. I think he's really good, but he's like, he's more of a guy that fits into a team building around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But she's getting kind of older now.
We'd like to have one more good shooter here.
Yeah,
like, and as we can see from the Kings, teams are getting rid of shooting this deadline. They're not bringing it in.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm a little surprised that the Warriors didn't make a move.
Yeah, I thought they might make a swing at the margins, but I guess they're going to just try to stay stable, and their move is for Draymond to get healthy.
Because they have, the Warriors have great depth. I think they have some of the best depth right now. Like, they have guys who are just cool with being on the bench, and they're enjoying it, it seems. Which is key. But then, like, they so desperately need a big right now. The only big they have, though they have, I'm going to say they have 1.5 bigs. Kevon Looney, right?
Which is, he's literally, for like the last like 6 years, been the only big the Warriors have.
Yeah, and he's good, and he's that guy. You know, and I think since, at least as of last week, he was the best offensive rebounder since the start of the new year.
Okay.
So, you know, we'll take that. And then we have Nemanja Bjelica, who I'm saying is a half big.
That's fair.
But he's not very athletic, so he's not going to get you hella boards and shit either. But he can shoot sometimes.
That's what you want.
He's like the guy on the team where every highlight is worth something really bad also.
Yeah, you're like net zero overall, but you hope maybe in this game specifically, you're going to get slightly more positive.
Yeah. Shooting's good though. But yeah, like that's, so like they're playing games where, you know, Kevon cannot play the whole game, and against a team where just, you know, Bielisa's just not going to work. So you have guys like Kuminga or like Juan Toscano playing center. And like, for real, it sucks. It's so weird. And like, Otto Porter's not been consistently playing just because he's had some injury troubles, but like, he's been playing center too, and he makes it work, but it's not the most. I mean, obviously, it's not going to be sustainable.
Yeah, I think when the brief couple times that happened with Otto and Washington at the five, we called that like tiny ball or something.
Yeah, that's what's happening. I mean, the Warriors are good at small ball, but still, it's like, sometimes it's like they need a big, because if Kevon gets hurt, they're kind of fucked for a while.
Yeah, I mean, at some point you have to rebound.
Yeah, and Draymond's out for who knows how much longer. This weird disc injury or something. I don't know.
But they've remained a top three team in the league.
See, that's the crazy thing. Without Draymond, they still have the top defense. And they're missing him most.
Steph isn't even shooting well.
Yeah, Steph's like been very inconsistent. Klay's been getting better. That's good. He had like a 35-point game the other day.
Oh yeah, is that the one where he put away the Lakers at the end?
Yeah.
He had that big fourth quarter.
He had 33, but like most of that was in the fourth.
Yeah, he had like 16 in the fourth or something.
Yeah, that was, he's back.
Love to get to see that.
He was back, and with everyone on Lakers, he was yelling at Austin Reeves.
Hell yeah. He heard about that AR-15 nickname, and he said, not in our house. No gun terminology.
We don't do that here.
He said, I am with LeBron on this.
Austin Reeves blocked him, and like, it was like the most Klay has ever took anything personal. More personal. It's just getting blocked by Austin Reeves. And then he just went off.
That's fair. Look, you understand that. If you've played enough pickup ball, you understand that people get really pissy when you block their shot. You block their shot, and you'll get about 50% of people will do this thing where they run up on you and hound you and try to play the hardest, most physical defense of their lives for like the next like 5 seconds. And you're just like passing it to someone else. Like, what are you doing?
People hate it when you play basketball against them.
They do. Look, it brings me no joy to say this, and there were a lot of other factors at play, but Steph Curry with LeBron blocking him in the 16 finals, when he blocked him and he got mad at LeBron, and I was like, that's relatable because that's how it goes, but damn.
Yeah.
You don't want to be that guy.
No. You don't want to be that guy against Klay Thompson.
What was it? Who did that to who did that to Kevin Durant when he came black and was playing the Thunder? It was like Jeremy Grant or something had a huge block on him. And went nuts and then like got really big, and the Thunder were doing great in the first 6 minutes, and then that happened, and then Kevin Durant just destroyed them.
Yeah, it's so fascinating how bad a good play can be for you sometimes.
It's like, really, it's especially in the regular season, you've got a decent chance that the other guys do not care that much. So don't make them care.
Yeah, it's like Steph's been struggling. But I feel like the last thing a lot of these teams want to do, even while he's struggling, is just make him mad.
Right, yeah, don't make him care.
Yeah, because there was a game, like, early in the season where it was early in the drought, in his drought, and he's struggling, and then he just, like, starts getting fouled a lot, he's getting really mad, and then they called they gave him a tech for charging the ref after, like, a bad call. And it was so funny because it wasn't even, like, the other team that made him mad then.
Yeah.
And then some of the fouls, it was the refs that pissed him off. And then he just went crazy and scored, like, you know, it was one of those, like, plus 40 games.
Yeah.
Because the ref got him mad. And I was like, man, if, like, he's playing against the refs and not in a way, like, you guys are fucking me. It's like, he's just playing, like, you know, he got one bad call and he's like, okay. Like, you're going to lose.
That's the thing. No player could ever try for 82 games. The season's way too long. You just gotta, if you're lucky enough to get one of the nights that they're taking off for any reason, on purpose or not, don't give them a reason to go hard.
Yeah. Especially like KD.
Yeah.
F.
You see that with LeBron too, back when he got his headband knocked off and he came back in and destroyed.
Yeah. LeBron getting mad now is funny. Remember he got so mad at the Grizzlies?
He was so mad at Desmond Bane. Remember? Still wasn't as funny as when he got mad at Campaign on the Suns.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good, too.
When he yelled at him and said, a year and a half ago, you were sitting at home. Like,
yeah.
What? he's beating you right now.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it doesn't matter anymore. Like,
you're going to tell me what LeBron, I was doing
you're the
18
one on the bench.
Ago?
You're the one on the bench yelling at the guy playing that's beating you.
Yeah. Imagine somebody run up to you weren't talking shit 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And?
Like it's funny like saying that like you weren't like bro, he's beating you. You're getting beat by that guy who just barely
got yeah, right. It doesn't land at all.
It's like the ultimate self own.
Yeah. But yeah, the anger's not quite the same, but I still if it was against my team and I cared about my team winning games, I would prefer they not piss him off during it because my team is not as good as the Suns or the Grizzlies, which you'll notice those teams pissing him off are just excellent teams.
Yeah. It's like LeBron's so good. He's going to, you know, maybe he'll be fine in the playoffs. Who knows? But he's not used to losing like this.
Yeah. I think he'll personally be fine. The Lakers will not be fine. They stink.
Yeah.
He's going to go out there and average like 39-9 in the playoffs, but I don't think the team has much it can do.
Oh, you know what? Also, speaking of him, you know, like a few weeks ago on the pod, I was like asking like, what's going to happen when his son enters the league, when his son's getting drafted? And now we have an answer now. LeBron said he's willing to go wherever.
Oh, yeah. He's going. What's the funniest team for him to be on?
Ah, the Warriors.
That'd be a good one.
It's the funniest. Do I care if it happens? I really don't care, but that would be the funniest.
I think I want
him
to be on the Raptors.
That'd be pretty funny too.
If his son gets drafted by the Raptors and he has to go up and like we're talking like 40-year-old LeBron, not terrible, but not like that good.
He's
has,
not
just up there in the Raptors fans are like, man, fuck this.
Yeah. Cavs would be pretty funny.
It's also infinitely funnier if his son is like a... I hope his son's great. I'm not rooting against kids. But it's infinitely funnier if his son is like a mid-second round pick or something.
Or like...
Go anywhere and somebody picks him like 50th overall.
Yeah, and he's like... He has to go back to the Cavs. Who have like moved on so well without him now.
Right. Or there's just a team that has like no cap, a team that has no cap space drafts him. So LeBron, like, it's either take the league minimum or don't do it.
Yeah, but it's like, man, when he's 40, like, how much? What's the highest someone's gonna pay him?
I don't know. It would help if it looked like again. You can tell he's finally getting older, but it would help if at any point he stopped being an unbelievable basketball player.
Yeah,
but for now he's still like, one of the five best in the league, so fuck it.
Yeah, like, I don't care how good you are. It's like, you're 40. No one's, you know, like, no matter how good you are at 40, no one should give you anywhere close to a max.
I think just based off you saying that the Wizards were going to give him a 5-year max deal when he's 41.
Oh, brother, here we go.
I'd give LeBron the max to play for a year if he was still good. I just wouldn't want to. If he was still good, like if he was like this, but like a little bit worse, sure.
I guess if you have the space to kill for a year.
Yeah, but it's like, the whole thing is like, there's no such thing as a bad 1-year deal. That's not like really true, but like, it's fairly true. Because it's done at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Man, what? Pelicans. If he was on the Pelicans.
If LeBron went to the Pelicans at 40, all of his good injury luck for the last like 19 years would instantly be compressed into one insane year where he gets like hit by a bus while playing a game.
Yeah.
His knees would explode. Piano
falls from the roof.
Yeah, an anvil.
Yeah. It'd be funny also to see him like go to like the Spurs.
Yeah.
So, you know, to go from a situation where he's always like the one in control to the Spurs, right, where the Spurs are always such a heavily controlled environment.
Celtics would also be pretty funny.
Celtics would be, yeah. Like any team that hates him.
Yeah. That's all the ideal spots.
I wonder how good his son's gonna be. So yeah, I'm not rooting for him. I think it'd be fun if he was great.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. Like, he could also just be like the Tim Hardaway Jr. of LeBron.
Yeah. Right.
And which isn't bad. Tim Hardaway Jr. is not bad. But it's not. He's not Tim Hardaway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or is he going to be like Austin Rivers?
I mean, that's the thing, is it doesn't work out more often than not. I'm really curious to see where the kid's at when he hits like 17 or 18. I don't think there's too much to read into about a kid who's a rising junior or whatever. But I'm curious when he's at the college age, whether he goes to college or goes straight to the pros. I'm curious at that point what kind of prospect he looks like.
I wonder too if there's going to be a bit of like hesitancy from organizations to be like just not sold. Like, I feel like, you know, they're so worried about like, let's not get in over our heads, you know, like, yeah, he's his father's son, but like, you know, because we see that happen sometimes with like colleges or franchises being like, you know, I know your dad was a legend, but I'm not. Like, you know, we're not sold yet. That's more often in college, though.
Yeah, I feel like it'll probably, any of that would be offset by the amount of, like, advertising dollars that they would see if they got the kid on their team.
That's true.
They'd be like, oh, it's a payday. People are going to come to see this and we'll get commercials and shit.
Yeah, because I was thinking it is going to be a lot different than, like Steph and Clay getting into college.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, like, not as easy as they expected.
Yeah.
When their dads were both like super good. But yeah, you're right. That's going to be. And then they'd make the money like for giving LeBron a max, even if they went to luxury. It's like, you're going to sell so many jerseys.
Oh, yeah. No, it'd be huge. Yeah, the amount of like James Sr. and James Jr. jerseys that would sell.
Oh, boy. Disgusting.
What was his old thing? He doesn't go by LeBron. His son doesn't go by LeBron because he doesn't want people to know who he is.
Oh, yeah. He had like a different number.
Yeah, he had a different number. That was it.
Yeah, he had a different number.
At guard is LeBron James Jr. Hey, who that is?
Yeah. Well, and then, yeah, to go from that to being introduced together in the same lineup.
Yeah, I wonder if, like, he very well could. I'm not trying to project or anything. Like, but I'm just like, I'm curious how much he wants it.
Yeah, I wonder.
I'm just not sure as Isaac kid. I mean, it'd probably be dope. I'd probably be for it, but like, I'm sure there's some kids who would be like, nah.
Yeah, like let me do my thing. But again, but, it's at least, you know, like that year that LeBron goes over to whatever team he gets drafted by, like that's probably gonna be LeBron's last year. So
yeah,
it's like. Off on for a year, then he'll have a chance to really do his own.
This is a stupid question. I never remember this. Does free agency happen before or after the draft?
I think it's before.
That'd be really funny if he's like trying to get over to that team and they just don't have any way to do it for a little while.
Yeah, let me check. Yeah, he just has to wait. Because when's the draft? Like month and a half, 2 months before the season? Before preseason?
Let me see.
Free agency starts August 2nd.
Okay, that after the draft. The draft happens end of July.
Okay, so after. Interesting.
All right, so they'll be able to do that. That would have been funny to me if it was like, shit. Next year, though.
Yeah. That's interesting to think about. Because, you know, there's all this shit about, like, these teams should not be contacting these free agents until free agency actually starts.
Yeah.
There ain't no way that a team would, like, draft Bronny and be like, well, we can't talk to LeBron yet.
Imagine if they drafted Bronny and then they signed LeBron and then the NBA made them voided it for tampering.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that'd be so funny. That'd be like the perfect like start of LeBron's last season.
Yeah.
It's like finally getting in trouble for tampering. But this time it's the other way where he's like, yeah. he's the free agent. He's not loyal to people. Wow. All right. Do we have any last news?
Anything else? I don't think so. We lied about this being a shorter one, but like you said, we have no standard length.
It's good though. Yeah. Before we start recording on the stream, we were talking about Enes Kanter and his freedom. Yeah. I mean, I just we said it would happen. We said once he's not on a team, all the Twitter right wingers are gonna see him as a martyr, and now he's got Charlie Kirk tweeting about him. So
people have claimed in the past 24 hours that he is a borderline Hall of Famer and an incredible defensive player.
It's so incredible. He's just not good. Also, I love the quote that he's stepping away from the CPAC talk to focus on his basketball stuff.
His side hobby.
Basketball stuff. Like, I don't think any player has just said basketball stuff.
No, that sounds like you're like, you couldn't think of a lie in time.
I have basketball career stuff later. Yeah, your basketball career or your basketball obligations or whatever, but I've never heard them just say, yeah, I'm on my basketball stuff. Can't give this talk at the Republican convention because I have basketball.
It was still so funny before he got traded when he announced he was going to be there for those 3 days and there were 3 Celtics games during the time he was supposed to be speaking.
I gotta imagine that was a reason for him getting traded.
Or he already knew.
I don't know. I have to imagine it contributed.
Yeah.
Because, like, he was getting some playtime with them still.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like a new team, you see that, and you're like, oh, let me help you out then. And you trade him to a team where you don't have to deal with him anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, what? He's not good. It's not like it's worth to keep him around if he's distracted and going away from the team.
Yeah, exactly. And they seem to be doing fine without him still, so.
Yeah, 9 straight wins.
I guess that's about it then. I guess next week we'll do like an all-star wrap.
Yeah,
recap.
That sounds good.
And we should have a guest back.
We'll see what maybe have seen first glimpses of Harden and Simmons and their new teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because what, the games will resume again on what, Monday or Tuesday? Probably Tuesday.
Tuesday sounds right. Maybe it would be as late as Wednesday.
Monday sounds weird since there's a game on Sunday.
Yeah, there's no way it's that fast.
Oh, I'm very wrong. Thursday. So we will not be seeing a glimpse yet
We don't believe in glimpses. If we maybe we'll Photoshop it and glimpse that.
I mean, unless plays on Thursday. Sixers play on Thursday. So we'll see if he's even back because he's hurt. Harden's hurt. I would imagine we're not going to see Simmons for maybe another week or two. Since he has not been playing like.
Yeah. No, he has to work
on it. I know he's been, you know, safe to assume he's been practicing and shit on his own, but he's not doing like team practice. So I would imagine they're not rushing him. But maybe we'll see a game or two, but yeah, then there's not going to be basketball till next Thursday, but we'll see. Final thoughts. I watched a movie on Valentine's Day. My girlfriend, Love and Basketball.
Oh, classic.
I gotta say, that's the best I've seen basketball handled in a movie.
Nice.
Better
than the 9-foot rims on White Men Can't Jump.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I was watching, I was like, oh, they actually like made sure they knew basketball moves. Like it was like I was like, oh, this is like real basketball. So if you like basketball and your partner likes love, you can combine them and watch that movie.
Never let it be said that combination doesn't exist out there.
All is fair in love and basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You got anything? Last words?
I can't say anything better than that.
Okay, well, remember when all is fair in love and basketball, that all is fair in when we love you. That was really smooth.
Mm-hmm. That's
perfect. See you.
Thank you very much.